السلام عليكم. وعليكم السلام. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون لهم البشرى في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة لا تبديل لكلمات الله ذلك هو الفوز العظيم. وقال تعالى: إن أولياؤه إلا المتقون ولكن أكثرهم لا يعلمون. وقال تعالى: الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور والذين كفروا أولياؤهم الطاغوت يخرجونهم من النور إلى الظلمات أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. وقال تعالى: إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون أولئك أصحاب الجنة خالدين فيها جزاء بما كانوا يعملون. وقال تعالى: إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون. نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من عادى لله وليا فقد بارز الله بالمحاربة. وقال عليه السلام: إن الله تعالى يحب الأبرار الأتقياء الأخفياء الذين إذا غابوا لم يتفقدوا وإذا حضروا لم يدعوا ولم يقربوا قلوبهم مصابيح الهدى يخرجون من كل غبراء مظلمة. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: أغبط أوليائي عندي لمؤمن خفيف الحال ذو حظ من الصلاة أحسن عبادة ربه وأطاعه في السر وكان غامضا في الناس لا يشار إليه بالأصابع عجلت منيته قلت بواكيه وقلت رافه. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: إن من عباد الله من لو أقسم على الله لأبره أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. ونحن على ما قال ربنا وخالقنا ورازقنا من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Respected elders, brothers, friends, ladies, young ones, first of all we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all His ni'mats, blessings. We have to understand, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فمن الله. Whatever ni'mat you have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلَمْ تَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَأَصْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعَمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنًا. Allah has completed His ni'mats and favors upon you, those which you can see and those which you can't see. Zahiri ni'mat, batini ni'mat, Allah Pak has gifted us with both types of ni'mat. Zahiri ni'mat, health, wealth, food, job, car, money, family. And batini ni'mat, iman, Islam, Quran, ihsan, hadith, fiqh. All these ruhani ni'mats, we have to appreciate all ni'mats. Everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we always have to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah invites us to do His shukr in Surah Ar-Rahman. After mentioning His ni'mats, Allah Pak calls out to us, فَبِيَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Then which of the favors of your Rabb will you deny? Allah asks this question 31 times in Surah Ar-Rahman. Are you going to deny the favors of Allah? How long are you going to say, this is mine, that is mine, my job, my skill, my this, my that, my children, my family, my money, my business, my shop, my beauty, my health. Nothing is mine, everything is Allah's. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor that He gifted us with all this. We have to do shukr of Allah. And when we do shukr of Allah, Allah says, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you do shukr, I'll give you more. وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. If you do nashukri, if you are ungrateful, if you boast and pull your chest out and you say everything is mine and you deny Allah, then إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. Allah's azab is severe. May Allah protect us from His azab. So, we have to do shukr of Allah upon all the ni'mats, favors, blessings, bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq to do so. Thereafter, I would like to thank the Imam Sahib, your community, for inviting me, giving me the opportunity to sit here in front of you and speak to you, say something about our beautiful deen, al-Islam. May Allah give me the tawfiq to say something which is beneficial for all of us. Respected elders, brothers, friends, I recited to you few verses of the Quran. You will realize the theme of these ayat. Allah Pak is talking about Awliyaullah, Wali of Allah. Who is a Wali of Allah? Who is a friend of Allah? Who is very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Yunus, in the 12th ruku, 11th juz, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Lo, it is the friends of Allah upon whom there will be no fear and they will not grieve. Who are the friends of Allah? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Those who had iman and who adopted a life of taqwa. Who used to have taqwa, fear of Allah, constant awareness of Allah at the back of their minds. Allah is watching me. Allah is looking at me. Allah is observing me. Allah is listening to me. Allah is watching my every move. He is hearing my every word. I have to behave properly and I have to be on an impeccable behavior, my best manners at all times, 24/7, throughout my whole life. I have to be proper, respectful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is taqwa. That you are constantly aware of Allah. Constant awareness of Allah is taqwa. Beware of Allah. Be mindful of Allah. Knowing that Allah is watching me, Allah is looking at me, and I have to behave properly. This is taqwa. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. And when we have this iman and taqwa, Allah Pak says, لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. They will have basharat, good news in this dunya and in the hereafter. Good news in this dunya. Allah will give you good news after good news after good news. Inshallah. Sometimes good news in your life, good news in your family, good news in your home, in your children, sometimes good news through dreams. Some Mufassireen have interpreted lahumul bushra as good dreams. Because of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ذَهَبَتِ النُّبُوَّةِ وَبَقِيَتِ الْمُبَشِّرَاتِ Nubuwwat has gone, but mubashirat are left. قَالُوا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَمَا الْمُبَشِّرَاتِ What are mubashirat? That glad tidings, good news is. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, الرُّؤْيَ الصَّالِحَةِ يَرَاهَا الْمُسْلِمِ أَوْ تُرَى لَهُ Sweet dreams, beautiful dreams, which a Muslim himself sees or someone else sees for him, are al-mubashirat. In the dreams, Allah gives many good news. Allah tells us about the ranks of awliyaullah. We know, we recognize the friends of Allah. Sometimes during their lifetimes, sometimes after death, when they die, people see good dreams regarding them. And there is basharat in there that they have gone to Jannat. Allah Pak has elevated their ranks. These are all basharat and good news from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is lahumul bushra fil hayati dunya and bushra fil akhirah in Jannat. When they go in the life after death, as soon as they go in the qabr, they have good news in the qabr. Their qabr is expanded for them as far as their eyes can see. It's turned into a garden from the gardens of Jannah. And their reckoning in the qabr, questioning in the qabr of Munkar Nakir is made easy for them. And they have no fear in the qabr. They have no grievances here and in the qabr, no fear in the qabr. Sometimes Munkar Nakir comes and they scold Munkar Nakir. We see, we read about dreams about awliyaullah. Munkar Nakir come and ask, Man Rabbuka, Ma Deenuka, Man Nabiyuka. And Hazrat Pirani Pir Sayyiduna Abdul Qadir Jilani Ramtullahi Alayhi replies, go and ask the one who sent you to me. Meaning Allah knows, I have never forgotten Allah throughout my life, that I am going to forget Him now. Hazrat Maulana Zulfiqar Sahab, who was the Shaykhul Hadith of Falahi Darain Tarkesar, he was a Sayyid, descendant of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When he died, some of his students saw him in a dream. And asked, Hazrat, how are you? How did you fare in the qabr? Munkar Nakir questioning. And he replied, Munkar Nakir came and asked me, Ma taqulu fi hazar rajul? What do you say regarding this person? Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, Achha, aap inke baare mein pooch rahe hain. To sun lijiye, ye mere nana hai aur main inka nawasa ho. You are asking me regarding this person? Then listen carefully. He is my grandfather and I am his grandson. So, because they spend their life in taqwa and they spend their life in the path of Allah. They are friends of Allah. They have no fear in the qabr, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them sukoon in the qabr as well. And then they relax, they go around, they meet the other awliyaullah, they meet sahaba, tabi'een, they meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like Sayyiduna Bilal Habshi radiallahu anhu was on his deathbed. His wife began to cry seeing the pangs of death. And he was the severity of the extraction of ruh. So Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu opened his eyes and he said, why are you crying for? Today is a day of joy. Today is a day of happiness. Ghadan alqal ahibba Muhammadan wa hizba. Tomorrow I will be meeting my beloved ones, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his jama'at and the companions. You are saying, wa karba, wa karba, hai meri musibat, hai meri musibat. I am saying, wa tarba, aaj to maze ka din hai, jhoomne ka din hai. Today is not a day of calamity, today is a day of joy and happiness that I am going to meet my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I am going to meet my beloved ones and I will be seeing them, meeting them, greeting them. So, when you have this friendship and wilayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have nothing to fear in this world and you have nothing to fear in the qabr and you will have nothing to fear in the hereafter on the day of resurrection in Maidan al-Hashar. The friends of Allah will be called to one side and they will be given the shade of the arsh of Allah when there will be no shade beside the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will be called to one side. And in that heat, when the sun will be at a distance of just a mile up, and everybody will be sweating, drenching in their perspiration, and standing there in a waiting game, Allah will call these fortunate people on one side, and He will give them the cool and air-conditioned shade of the shade of Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. they will be relaxed. No fear, no huzn, no gham. They will be relaxing there. And then when Hisab Kitab starts, Hisab Kitab will be made easy for them. They will be close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hadith says, the one who sends most blessings upon me will be the closest to me on the day of Qiyamah. Inna awla al-nasi bi yawm al-qiyamati aktharuhum alayya salata. You send salat and salam in abundance on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you will be closest to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah. And when you are close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you have nothing to fear. You will get his shafa'at intercession. You will get the sweet water of Hawz-e Kawthar at the blessed hands of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Maidan-e Hashar on the day of Qiyamah. Hisab kitab easy, mizan-e amal easy, weighing in the scales easy, certificate given in the right hand, crossing the pul sirat is easy, and getting into Jannah is easy, along with sabiqeen awwaleen, along with Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam and sahabi kiram rizwanullahi alayhi majma'in and our salafi salihin aimma mujtahideen fuqaha muhaddithin mutakallimin mufassirin and all our 1400 years history of salafi salihin. Inshallah, we will be joining them on the day of qiyamah, provided we get this wilayat and friendship of Allah subhanahu. And this can be achieved through الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, those who have iman and those who adopted a life of taqwa. May Allah give us this life of taqwa. We read the definition of wali in Sharia Aqal. الْوَلِيُّ هُوَ الْعَارِفُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى حَسْبَ مَا يُمْكِنْ الْمُوَاضِبُ عَلَى الطَّاعَاتِ المجتنب عن المعاصي والانهماك في اللذات والشهوات. Wali, friend of Allah, is such a person who knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible, who has a recognition of Allah, gnosis of Allah, ma'rifat of Allah, who knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows what Allah likes, what Allah hates. He does what Allah likes, he avoids what Allah hates. He knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows Allah's commands, Allah's instructions. حَسْبَ مَا يُمْكِنْ الْمُوَاظِبُ عَلَى الطَّاعَاتِ, who is punctual upon good deeds. He doesn't miss out on good deeds. He does as much as is possible for him. الْمُجْتَنِبْ عَنِ الْمَعَاصِ, who refrains from sinning, disobedience. He doesn't sin, he avoids sins. And وَالْإِنْهِمَاكِ فِي اللَّذَّاتِ وَالشَّهَوَاتِ, and who avoids indulging in even halal lazzat and shahwat. Little bit of, you know, lazzat, okay, pleasure. But always after pleasures and, you know, a life of luxury, tana'um. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِيَّاكَ وَالتَّنَعُمْ فَإِنَّ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ لَيْسُوا بِالْمُتَنَعِمِينَ. Don't be extravagant in ni'mat and enjoying the pleasures all the time. Because the servants of Allah are not such who always busy themselves and indulge themselves in luxuries and pleasures. He said in one hadith, أَلْبَزَاغَةُ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. Sadigi, simplicity is part of iman. Try and be a simple person. Don't show off if Allah has given you ni'mat. Be a simple, down-to-earth person. So, we go again. Al-waliyyu huwa al-arifu billahi ta'ala hasba ma yumkin. We need to gain this ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can we gain this ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Well, if you want to learn something, you sit in the company of the learned ones. You want to become a doctor, you have to stay in the company of doctors and learn from them. You have to spend a good few years in college studying. You want to become an engineer, you have to go and study in the company of the engineers. Nobody can just read a book of medicine and become a doctor, or a book of engineering and become an engineer. To the extent you want to become a driver, you have to sit with an instructor and you have to take lessons, and then you become a proper driver. So for everything, you need to stay in the company of those who are the experts of that field. You stay with them, you learn from them, and then you get to that perfection and the highest stage. So similarly, in this field of ma'rifat, knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will have to stay in the company of those who have recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala well, who behave with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as they should behave. And you stay with them, you learn from them, and we all have our bad habits and bad traits. We all have sicknesses, diseases in the heart. Nobody is free from them. Because we have nafs, and afatun nafs. The problems, the perils of our ego. Our ego drags us towards bad things. Because ego is bad, and it likes bad things. So it likes sinning. It likes, you know, the things, the sins we can imagine, understand, whether it's zina, whether it's sharab, whether it's drugs, whether it's gambling, whether it's interest, whether it's haram money, haram earning, and all sins you can think of. The ego, the nafs, is bad, and it likes bad things. And the more bad you give it, the more it will ask for. And the nafs is never satisfied. You give it some, a little bit, and more, and more. If you develop a habit of listening to songs, the nafs will never be satisfied. It will always want to listen to more and more and more and more, and there will be no end to it. And if you develop, you know, a habit of cinemas and movies and watching things, bad things, then it will want more and more and more and more. And the more gas you give it, the more faster it will go. You will have to put the brakes on somewhere to control it. So the nafs, it pulls us towards bad things. We have to understand where our nafs is taking us. We have to control that nafs. This is what our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said: "Al-qayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'da al-maut." Intelligent and wise person is he who brings his nafs under control and who practices for his life after death. That is an intelligent person, a wise person. He keeps his nafs under control. He puts the reins on the nafs like the reins of the horse and keeps it under control and doesn't let it go loose. And he practices for life after death, continues to practice. Whereas wal-ajiz, a fool, a stupid person is he, man atba'a nafsahu hawaha wa tamanna 'ala Allah, who lets his nafs loose behind all its desires. And then has high hopes from Allah. Oh, I'm going to go Jannat. Who is Jannat for? Jannat is for me. No matter what I do, I'm going straight into Jannat. I'm not going to go in Jahannam. Allahu Akbar. He's sinning and sinning and sinning. And then thinking, I'm going to go in Jannat anyway. I'm going to go straight to Jannat. And Allah is not going to send me to Jahannam. So these types of vain hopes are from Shaitan. The whisperings of Shaitan. No, we have to lead a life of piety, a life of taqwa, a life of self-control, and then we can hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ دَانَ نَفْسَهُ وَعَمِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. So, we have to bring the nafs under control. And for this, you know, we stay in the company of our mashayikh, our ulama, our sulaha, ahlullah, who have gone through these stages, who have gone through this road. You know, If you are stuck somewhere in a jungle or a forest and you don't know a way out, and you have a friend who says, I know a way out from here, I've been through this road many times, I'll take you to safety from here, you will go with them. Because they know where there is risk and where you could get attacked from which direction. So they avoid that and they navigate you through that. Similar is the case of mashayikh. They've been through this road and they have reached high up there. If you stay in their company, they will help you, they will navigate you, they will help you to bring your nafs under control, and they will take you closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will inspire you with the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need this ma'rifat, recognition, gnosis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this ma'rifat, we need ilm as well. We need ilm, we have to stay with ulama, learn from them. First is ilm zahiri is important. Ilm of sunnah. What is sunnah? What is against sunnah? What is halal? What is haram? What is jaiz? What is najaiz? All these ulum. So a person, an arif billah, a shaykh should have first full knowledge of the deen, understanding of deen. And after knowledge comes the azkar and awrar and practices of mashayikh. So he goes through this stage. He has the ilmi zahiri as well. And then he has the ilmi batini as well. And then he takes the muridin, those who stay in his company, he takes them through these stages of ma'rifat ilahiyya and helps them to get to that stage which is called wusul ilallah. And wherein we see our mashayikh, our elders, like Hazrat Pirani Pir Sayyiduna Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi alayhi. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullahi alayhi. Hazrat Shibli, rahmatullahi alayhi. And the likes of them from that era of the 3rd, 4th, 5th century. We see that era that Islam was spread, protected, preserved by these awliyaullah, these mashayikh, upon whose hands hundreds of thousands, if not millions, did tawbah. Who used to come to their zaviya, their khanqa, stay in their company, listen to their mawa'iz, and purify and their souls and cleanse their souls and then reach perfection and the stages of perfection. So there was an era in our Islamic history where it was the Sufiyya Kiram, the Mashayikh who protected the deen and who took the people forward. We read regarding Sayyiduna Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi that he was in Baghdad and before him Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi came. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi was a great philosopher and he was a great ascetic Sufi person as well. He stayed in the company of Mashayikh as well. He wrote a beautiful book called Ihya'u Ulumiddin and he revived the sciences of the deen. However, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi was not able to transform and change the condition of Baghdad. But immediately after him, Sayyiduna Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi came to Baghdad as well. He sat in a few lessons of Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi as well before Imam Ghazali left Baghdad. And then he benefited from the mashayikh of Baghdad. He learned and he became, fully qualified scholar. He came to Baghdad at the tender age of 12. And he stayed there, learned, both sciences, ilmi zahiri and then ilmi batini. And, he reached that stage after staying in the company of various mashayikh. He did not get married until the age of 35. And that was when he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his dream. And Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Ya Abdul Qadir, tazawwuj. O Abdul Qadir, get married. That is when Hazrat got married. And he started this life of staying in the company of the public. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a khanqa and then people started turning towards him. It was Allah who turned the hearts of people towards Hazrat. And people start coming, listening to his mawa'iz in the masjid, in the zawiyat. And then their hearts are changed. Their condition is transformed. And he fully transformed the whole city of Baghdad. Baghdad at that time was at the peak of civilization. And it was a very rich city, very vibrant city. And life in Baghdad was very, very expensive. The rent were very high and cost of living was very high. And people were rich and they used to pay for all that. But, Hazrat transformed the whole city. Those rich people and that high lifestyle, Hazrat transformed the whole of Baghdad. And when Baghdad changed, the whole of other Iraq and other areas also changed. And this is how Hazrat did great work of bringing the people back towards the deen. From dunya, he changed them and diverted their attention towards akhirat, towards deen, towards practicing on deen, towards coming towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are awliyaullah. And this is the stage which they went through. And we see throughout the stages, even in recent times as well, in our Indian subcontinent, we see our ulama and mashayikh and ahlullah from Shah Waliullah Muhaddis Dehlavi rahmatullahi alayhi. And before him, Sheikh Ahmad Sarhindi Mujaddid Al-Faisani rahmatullahi alayhi. And after him, our ulama who came after Shah Waliullah, Shah Abdul Aziz Muhaddis Dehlavi rahmatullahi alayhi. And his grandsons, Hazrat Shah Ismail Shaheed rahmatullahi alayhi. Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Barelvi rahmatullahi alayhi. And the likes of them who transformed the whole society, who took care of the Muslims at a very critical time when the British Raj was imposing its rule and its views and upon the public. And the iman of the public was at risk. And they had intended to change the whole of Hindustan and make it like Spain, where Islam is annihilated and their religion, Christianity, is on top and everybody has to follow that. And they had to, the ulama had to stand up and they had to revive and protect the deen. They did stand up and they worked so hard, tirelessly. They gave up their lives in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah took work from them and protected the deen and iman of the whole of Indian subcontinent. So it is the ulama of our recent times as well, our mashayikh. They established madaris like our Darul Uloom in Deoband, Mazahir Uloom in Saharanpur, and then the institute spread like mushrooms throughout the whole of that area. So Allah protected our deen, our iman, through these ulama, through these mashayikh, who were arif billah, who had reached that stage of perfection. And they guided others through this stage as well, and protected and preserved the deen of iman. This is called al-arif billah. You have to stay in the company of these arifin who know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have that knowledge, and then they will help you to get to that stage of perfection. A wali is someone, number one, who is arif billah, who knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is wasil ilallah, who has reached that stage. And then al-muwazibu ala ta'at, who is punctual upon good deeds. What is good deeds? Salat, Sawm, Zakat, Hajj, Umrah, Tilawat Kalam Pak, Zikr, Istighfar, Tawbah, Inabat Ilallah, Amr Bil Ma'roof, Nahi Anil Munkar, Waaz, Nasihat, Teaching, Educating, Madrasa, Maktab, Teaching Quran, Teaching Tafsir, Teaching Hadith. These are all good deeds. Anything you can think of as Ma'roof, a good deed is good deed. They are punctual upon those good deeds. Al-muwazibu ala ta'at. Anything that is ta'at and obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are punctual of it. They don't leave any good deeds. They don't abandon good deeds. They like doing good deeds. They like praying namaz. Not just farz namaz, extra salat as well, nawafil as well. They are punctual of their sunnah and nawafil. The 12 sunnahs before and after salawat, which are called sunnat muakkada, which are mentioned in the hadith of Ummi Habibah radiallahu anha in Tirmizi and Ibn Majah in Sunan, wherein the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man thabara ala thintay ashrata rak'atan fil yawmi wal layla, banallahu lahu baytan fil jannah." Whosoever is punctual upon 12 rakats during the day, Allah will construct a special palace for him in Jannah. 2 before Fajr, 4 before Zuhr, 2 after Zuhr, 2 after Maghrib, and 2 after Isha. He mentioned these 12. So these 12 are called Sunnate Muakkada, because our Prophet ﷺ was very punctual of these Sunnate Muakkadas. Hazrat Imam Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi has written that whosoever neglects these Sunnats, doesn't pray them, then there is a risk of him being classed as a fasiq, disobedient. Because the hadith says, "Man raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni." Whosoever turns away from my sunnah is not mine. So laysa minni is not mine. The minimum stage of laysa minni is fisq. The higher stage is kufr. So we won't class him as going into kufr, but he will go into the term of fisq and disobedience if he makes a habit of continuously leaving and abandoning this sunnah. Sometimes, now and then, you are in safar, journey, bimar, sick, you might not be able to pray, that's another thing. But regularly, deliberately, not praying these sunnahs could turn a person, because of laysa minni, into fisq as well. So we have to be punctual of these sunnahs. And then we have to be punctual of our nawafil. Tahajjud is the nafal upon which there is most emphasis. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has put great emphasis on tahajjud, qiyamul layl. Quran has also talked about وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ عَسَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. Allah said, first أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ. And then Allah said, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ. Establish salat, and at night get up for tahajjud. And this is an additional hukum for you. And if you are punctual of your tahajjud, what is the reward? عَسَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. Allah will raise you to the praiseworthy station, Maqamin Mahmood. So, oh my beloved, if you want to get to Maqamin Mahmood, even though he's been promised Al-Maqamin Mahmood, but Allah is still telling him to practice to get there. He said, you have to work hard. You have to tire yourself to get there. Stand up at night and pray tahajjud. And this tahajjud will take you to that high station of Maqam-e Mahmood. So, tahajjud has great emphasis. We have to pray our tahajjud salah. May Allah give us tawfiq to do so. Our fajr at the moment is quite late. We go to sleep early, inshallah. We get up 5 o'clock, pray half an hour tahajjud, then come for fajr salah, pray fajr, and then sleep a little bit if you want to. But you have to get up and pray tahajjud. You know, I heard from mashayikh, one of the greatest benefits of tahajjud qiyamul layl is that a person who is punctual on tahajjud, his children become pious. His piety and his tahajjud salat affects his family. Affects his family. So if we are punctual of our tahajjud qiyamul layl, inshallah, our children will be pious. They will become a coolness of eyes for us. So we have to be punctual upon our nawafil of tahajjud and ishraq if possible, chash namaz if possible, awwabin if possible. Ishraq is 2 rakats, 4 rakats after sunrise. And chash and salatul duha is 4 rakats, 8 rakats before zawal, round about 11, half 11, 12 o'clock. That time is salatul duha. And awwabin is 6 rakats after maghrib. When you pray maghrib, you pray 2 sunnahs anyway, pray 4 more and you get salab of awwabin salat. Salatul duha, if you be punctual of salatul duha, the benefits of salatul duha is barakat in rizq. If a person is punctual of salatul duha, Allah gives him lots of barakah in his sustenance, in his rizq. Allah provides for him, makes his life easy for him. In fact, I read this book called Fara'idul Qisas. Arabic book. There was this young man who was a carpenter and his workshop was close to the masjid. So every day, you know, he would come to his workshop, keep working, and at Salatul Duha time, around about 12 o'clock, it was quarter past 12, around about that time, he would go to lock his workshop, go to the masjid, perform wudu, pray 4, 8 rakats Salatul Duha, and then come back, and then keep working until Zuhr time at 2 o'clock. And then he would go for Zuhr, and then a little bit of lunch, and then he would come back to work. So it says that one day, he closed his workshop, he went to the masjid, performed wudu, and he started his Salatul Duha. He had just started his Salah and folded his hands when Malakul Maud came and extracted his soul. And he fell to the ground. Now he fell, but he was shaking, he kept his hands folded. Now by the time people arrived for Zuhr Salah, his body had cooled down. So they took him for ghusl. They try to separate his hands, but they are not separable because his body had gone cold. So he went into a qabr while his hands were folded in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to provide for him his rizq with ease, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him beautiful death. He could have died in the workshop because the time had come. When our time comes, you know, then we all have to go. Our life expires. We all have to go one day. But Allah gave him beautiful death in masjid while he was performing salah, and Allah will reward him for his good deeds. So perform salatul duha, salatul awwabin. One hadith says if you perform 6 rakats after maghrib, which will take you 6 minutes maybe. So in that 6 rakats, 6 minutes, Allah will give you sawab of worshipping Allah for 12 years. Hadith is in Tirmidhi Sharif. Man salla ba'da al-maghrib 6 rak'at udilna lahu bi'ibadati 12 sanatan. 12 years of ibadat sawab if you pray 6 rakats of awabin after maghrib namaz. So this is al-mawazibu 'ala al-ta'at, to pray, to have love and desire for salah, to love praying salah. So we have to love salah and pray as much as we can. This is mawazibat 'ala al-ta'at. And then fasting, keeping nafil roza, and then sadaqah khairat. If Allah Pak has blessed us, then we should continue to spend in the path of Allah. In fact, we should go out in search of poor people, needy people. And if we know someone is needy, secretly give them. We hear stories of our Salafi Saliheen, who used to look for widows and secretly go and provide for them without anyone knowing. Hazrat Imam Zainul Abideen, the grandson, great-grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, زين العابدين علي بن الحسين ابن علي ابن أبي طالب. It is related regarding him that when he died, people found out that in Medina Munawwara there were 100 households which were dependent on him. Nobody knew, but they found out upon his death. He used to provide for them secretly. He would go, give them money and come without anybody knowing who gave that bag of money to that widow lady or to that needy person. He would just go and secretly give them. They used to depend upon his handouts. 100 households he used to help and support throughout the city of Medina Munawwara. So these are our Salafi Salihin. They love spending in the path of Allah. So if Allah Pak has blessed us, we should go out in the community and look for such people, help them. Of course, there will be some over here as well. You don't think that poor people are out in other countries, needy people are here as well. So you help those in our neighborhoods, and when we help them, we attract their du'as, that can benefit us. So this is Al-Muwazibu ala Ta'at and Al-Mujtanibu anil Ma'asi. Wali of Allah is one who stays away from ma'asiyat, from disobedience. We think that disobedience is only zina, sharab, drugs, fornication, adultery, gambling. Of course, these are major sins. But there are also other major sins which we might not realize. Lying, cheating, backbiting, having bad thoughts about other people, slandering, accusing people, you know, talking behind people's backs. So all these sins of the eyes, you know, watching blue movies, na'udhu billah, pornography, huge, major sin. Major sin. Pornography is not a minor sin. Pornography is a major sin. Our Ustad Muhtaram, Hazrat Shaykh Yunus Sahab, when commenting on Babul Kabair and explaining what is a kabira guna, a major sin, he goes all through all the aqwal that so-and-so says that major sin's definition is this, major sin, what is in the Quran, what is in the hadith. Some say a sin upon which there is la'nat and curse, a sin upon which there is wa'id and warning of azab is a major sin. So he goes all through all these aqwal, and then at the end he says, of course all these are kaba'ir, but also in every era when Ahlullah say that this sin is kabira, then that will be kabira as well. When Ahlullah, ulama, sulaha, mashayikh define something as a major sin, then that will be major as well. And in this day and age, in this era, we see pornography is rampant within the society. And people watch these new movies because it's easy. Before, it was hard. People had to go to the cinemas to watch these types of filthy and dirty stuff. But now, it's at the tip of a button. You press a button and it's there in front of you on your TV channel, on the computer, or even on the mobiles and the iPads and iPods. And people watch these things. This is a major sin. It's a major sin. You have to avoid it. The sin of the eye, the sin of the ears, the sins of the tongues. You have to avoid all those sins. So a wali of Allah can only be a friend of Allah when he is avoiding all sins. So we have to understand sin. Sins with regards to, let's say, interest. Sometimes people take interest, give interest, take out unnecessary loans, purchase on credit cards, HP purchase, credit, and they are paying interest upon interest upon interest with their halal, hard-earned money, blood and sweat money. They are spending in interest, interest, interest. Some people go for halal finance. Well, they might have made it halal in one way or the other, twisted and turned things by ijara and ibaha and murabaha and this and that. You can change fancy words, but end of the day, the conception is the same. It's the same concept. The concept of giving less and taking more in interest is the same over here as well. Some people say it's the majburi, chalo majburi samjhe, but we should try and avoid even that as well. Go back to basics. 20, 30 years ago, people used to buy houses. They used to borrow from friends here and there and then pay it off quickly. And when you take private mortgage from friends, the one who gives to help that person is under the shade and rahmah of Allah as long as his money is with that other person. So he is attracting Allah's rahmah and forgiveness by helping his Muslim brother. And the one who has taken that loan, he has good intention, he wants to pay it off, and he's working hard to pay that off. Allah's special help will be with that person. Allah will help that person to pay that off quickly, and his debt will be paid off quickly. But when you take from interest base or even these things, Allah's help won't be there. So you are on your own. There is no support from Allah. You will be struggling to pay it off. So avoid mortgages. Avoid mortgages. Sometimes, you know, I went into North America and there, and you know, Allahu Akbar, some scholars also have taken mortgage out and they have bought $2 million expensive homes and they're paying interest. I said, Tawbah, astaghfirullah, how can this be possible? An alim, a scholar, he spent so much time studying and learning and he's paying interest. And thinking, oh well, what can we do, there's no way out. And these types of flimsy excuses. Why can't you purchase a small, modest house, modest property? Why do you have to purchase a large, massive property with swimming pool and this and that? You have to control your desires. Live in a small apartment if you can't afford a big house. So over here, interest, taking interest is a major sin. Paying interest is also a major sin. There is curse upon both who take and who pay. May Allah protect us. So we have to understand our dini ahkam properly. Al-mujtanib anil ma'asi. One can only be a wali, a proper friend of Allah, when he refrains from al-ma'asiyah. Whatever he knows that this is disobedient, this is a sin. You have to avoid it. You can't do that. It's going against the command of Allah. You are pulling your, drawing your chest out in front of Allah. Who is Allah to tell me this is haram? I'm going to do it. No, I don't care what he says. You can't behave in this manner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is al-mujtanib anil ma'asi. And also, wal-mujtanib anil minhimat fil lazzati wa shahwat. Something might not be haram, it's halal. But you use it or consume it now and then, okay. But all the time in lazzat and shahwat and in that shahwat, even if halal shahwat, it's not good. You have to control your nafs, control your desires. There is a hadith in which says that one sahabi died. Sahaba began to praise him. Oh, he was a nice person. He is in Jannah and this and that. Prophet sallallahu asked, tell me, did he used to remember death? And they said, well, we don't remember him talking about death. Tell me, did he used to control his nafs? That sometimes he wanted to eat something, drink something, but he let go of that just for the pleasure of Allah. Even though he was halal, sometimes we have to control our nafs, even on halal things as well. Sayyiduna Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu once asked for a glass of water. And the person brought a glass of water, but he put some honey in it to make it sweet. He sweetened it with honey. So Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu took the glass and said, what is this? And he said, I sweetened it with some honey. And Sayyiduna Umar said, take it away, I'm not going to drink it. So Sayyiduna Umar, it's water is halal. Honey is halal, water is halal. And he said, I know it's halal. But I see in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was displeased with some people and he said to them, أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمُ الدُّنْيَا وَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهَا. You have taken all your luxuries and good stuff in the dunya. You enjoyed them in the dunya, so you won't get anything here. And I don't want to be from those people who enjoy all their luxuries in the dunya. Take it away. I'm not going to drink it. They used to control their nafs, even from halal things. Malik bin Dinar, rahmatullahi alayhi, a great wali of Allah among the tabi'een. He is narrator of hadith. His name comes in the books of hadith as well. His Tawbah's story you must have heard on Laylatul Barat, how he repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His earlier life was not so good. And sometimes he used to drink as well. And he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted me with a daughter. And I loved her very much. She grew up, she started walking, she used to jump on me and she used to play with me and I used to play with her as well. And I was very, very, you know, fond of her. But suddenly, she died in the infancy. And I was really grief-struck and saddened. He says, one night it was Laylatul Bara'ah, 15th night of Shaban. And I came home. I had not prayed my Isha yet. I was down, I drank a little bit, and I fell asleep. And I saw a dream. I saw in the dream that Maidan-e Hashar had taken place. People are coming out of their graves, trumpet is blown, and people are going towards the place of resurrection. And I'm also going, scared, terrified, looking around here and there, and suddenly I hear a rumbling noise behind me. I look back, and there is a huge, massive snake, and it's slithering towards me, running after me, and I run for my life. It's after me, and I'm running, running, running. I'm sweating. I don't know what to do. And while I'm running, I see an old man in white clothes. I ask him, please help me, sir. You know, this musibat is after me. How can I save myself? I'm sorry, I can't help you. So he said, I saw a hill. I climbed up that hill. And the snake also behind me. And I saw that behind the cliff, behind the hill, there is the fire of Jahannam. I was about to jump into the fire because I was so scared of that snake. But then a thought came to me, I took a reverse turn and I turned in the other direction and the snake also turned towards me. And I came down and again I saw the old man. I said, please help me, please help me. And he said, I can't help you. However, go on that hill. There are some deposits over there. Maybe you might have some deposit there. It might be able to help you. So he said, I ran up that hill and there was beautiful mansion. And the malaika called out, open the gates, there is a person in distress over here. He might have some deposit, amanat over here. So the gates are opened, and small children rush outside, and among them was my daughter as well. She sees me, she rushes towards me, she grabs hold of my hand, and there is a beautiful, rock, and she sits on there. And she makes me sit on there, sits in my lap. Meantime, the snake comes close, and she stretches her hand out, and the snake goes away. And then, she's sitting in my lap, she gets hold of my beard, strokes my beard, and then she recites the verse of Surah Al-Hadid. أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ Has the time not yet come for those who have iman that their heart should humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and before the haqq which Allah has revealed in the form of Quran? Before the zikr of Allah, their heart should humble to the remembrance of Allah and to the haqq which Allah has revealed. So, when she read this ayat, I asked her, Beta, you know the Quran Sharif? And she said, yes. Small children who die are brought over here and they are taught the Quran and they become Hafiz. I am becoming Hafiza. Subhanallah. And then I asked her, Beta, what was all this? And she replied, you know Abba, that snake which was running after you, that was your sins, your disobedience. You have committed so many sins that they are coming here in the form of a snake and they are trying to push you into the fire of Jahannam. And you know that old man in white clothes, that's your good deeds. But your good deeds are so weak, they are unable to help you. The most they could do was direct you towards this hill and this mansion. So Abba, when are you going to do tawbah? When are you going to repent from this life of sinning? And Malik bin Dinar said, I am repenting now, I'm doing my tawbah. Say, I woke up and I realized, and that sort of nightmare was still in my mind. I broke all the bottles of liquor, intoxicant, and I did tawbah and then prayed Isha namaz. And then he went on to become among the great awliyaullah saints, ascetic people. So regarding him, it is narrated that, once he developed this desire to eat some tasty kebabs, meat. But he said, no, nafs, I've given you enough. And I'm not going to give you meat today. So the ego said, no, you have to eat. So he starts fighting with his nafs, I'm not going to give you meat. And the nafs says, you have to eat it. And he said, I'm not going to give you any meat for the rest of my life. Now he said to his nafs, and he gave up meat for the rest of his life. He didn't touch meat. He needed to bring his nafs under control. And he said, I'm not going to eat. This is his condition. I'm not going to tell you to do that as well. But this is his own heart. He was going through that. He was bringing his ego under control. I'm not going to give you meat. And he stayed in this state for 30 years. After 30 years, he was sitting somewhere and tasty kebabs were brought before him. Now he was old as well, and he was weak, and he was tempted. He was stretching his hands towards him, and then he said, "Oh nafs, you know, you've given up this for the sake of Allah. Why don't you do a little bit more sabr? You can enjoy the meat of Jannat, inshallah, when you get there." Allah has said, وَلَحْمِ طَيْرٍ مِّمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ. The Jannatis will get the meat, tender meat of the birds of Jannat, whatever they desire. So leave it. And he left it. So, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith said that, did that Sahabi ever used to give up some of his halal desires? He wanted to eat something, drink something, wear something, but he kept his nafs under control and avoided it. And Sahaba said, "No, Ya Rasulullah, we don't remember anything like that." And then the Prophet ﷺ replied, "Then he will not reach that stage where you will reach if you do these two things." What are the two things? Remembering death frequently and giving up many, many halal desires as well. We need this today as well, my dear brothers. We see our lifestyle, we go after too much indulgence in halal things as well. Eating out, I don't know about Australia, but we see in our places, London, UK, you know, many times people eat 3-4 times a week from restaurants, from takeaways. Allah has blessed them with wealth, and sometimes the ladies are lazy as well. They don't want to cook. So they say, takeaway me se liyao, restaurant me se liyao. So this restaurant, that restaurant, this restaurant, that restaurant. And you know, this is the lifestyle has become. And with regards to clothing and shoes and extravagance and life and, you know, latest gadgets and mobile phones. And sometimes people have to work overtime. Ladies have to go to work. You know, before 20, 30 years ago, ladies never used to go to work. You know, they were respectful and content with whatever Allah provided. But their spending has become so great that the one income is not enough. So the husband works as well, and the lady and wife has to go to work as well in order to make ends meet. Sometimes one pays the mortgage and the other pays for the household costs and the bills. There's so many bills of this bill, that bill. They fail to make ends meet. Why? Because we have made our lives so extravagant. And we are after money, 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 and all these luxuries and desires. So this hadith is telling us that we have to control our desires, put restrictions on ourselves, restrictions on our kids. If we give our kids everything, then they're going to grow up wanting more and more and more and more of everything. So we have to put some restrictions on them, sit down with them, talk to them. These are the limits. We can't exceed that limit. I'm only going to allow you this much, not anything more. So we have to control our kids as well. So this is, you know, what Sa'aduddin Taftazani is saying, Al-Mujtanib anil Mahasi wal-Inhimaki fil Lazzati wal-Shahawat. So if you want to become a friend of Allah, a wali of Allah, you'll have to do these things. Know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala well, recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He likes, what He dislikes. And then, number two, be punctual of ta'at. And number three, avoid sins. And number four, avoid many halal indulgences as well. Control your desires. Then you become friend of Allah. And when you develop this friendship with Allah, Allahu Akbar. Allah's friendship is amazing. Allah is the best friend a person can have. When you have this developed, this friendship with Allah, Allah becomes your wali, your protector, your guardian. Allah looks after you. Allah paves the way for you before you get to where you're going. تعرف احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده تجاهك تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. Be mindful of Allah and Allah will be mindful of you. Be mindful of Allah and you will find Him ahead of you. Wherever you go, He will have prepared everything for you. You won't have to worry about anything. So you develop friendship with Allah, Allah becomes a friend of yours, and Allah takes care of you, protects you wherever you go and in whatever you need. So when you develop this wilayat, Allah blesses you in this dunya and in the hereafter. Then, when a person progresses through this stage, he reaches the stage of abdal. There are many abdal around the world. In every country, every city, there are abdal. Abdal are such awliyaullah that if one of them dies, then the other one replaces him. That's why they are called abdal, because they replace. And this is mentioned in hadith. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna abdal ummati." لم يدخلوا الجنة بصلاة وصيام ولكن دخلوها برحمة الله وسلامة الصدور وسخاوة النفوس والنصح للمسلمين. The Abdal among my Ummah will not enter Jannah due to excessive salat and saum. They will enter Jannah due to the salamatul sudur. Their nafs will be saleem. Their qalb will be saleem. They will be safe. They will be peaceful. They will be at peace with each and everyone. No fighting, no arguing, no quarreling. Salamatul sudur. No, you know, rancor and malice and hatred and jealousy in their hearts with anyone. Clean hearts. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. May Allah give us all qalbi saleem. So Abdal, first condition is salamatul sudur and wasakhawatin nufus. They have sakhawat, generosity. They are generous, kind, soft-hearted, gentle people. So sakhawatun nufus and wanushi lil muslimin. And they are wishing well for all Muslims. They want good for every Muslim. They never wish anything bad for anyone. And first thing he said was bi rahmatillah, and this is all through the rahmat and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So abdal are mentioned in that ahadith. If you go on this path of wilayat and you know be punctual, be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you stage that high rank of wilayat and get to the rank of abdal, and then you are absorbed in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You love zikr of Allah, you love muraqabah, you love sitting in the company of Allah. Like our mashayikh used to say, when Malik ibn Mighwal rahmatullahi alayhi was asked, he used to stay alone, solitude, confinement, he would not associate with people. So one of his, you know, friends once said to him, "Oh, ma tastawhish, do you not feel lonely, ghabrahat, wahshat?" And he replied, "Kaifa astawhishu wa huwa yaqul ana jalisu man zakarani." How can I feel lonely when Allah says, "I am sitting with that person who is in my remembrance. And I am busy in his zikr, in his remembrance. I am not alone. Allah is with me." Another riwayat is that, "Aw yastawhishu ma Allahi ahadun?" Can a person feel lonely when he is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So when you are engrossed into the remembrance of Allah, in zikr of Allah, you are busy in Allah's zikr, Allah's remembrance, your heart and mind is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get so much pleasure in your heart, peace of mind, sukoon, tranquility. It's amazing. Allah said, "Allazina amanu wa tatma'innu qulubuhum bi dhikrillah, ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub." Those who have iman, their hearts find peace, solace, tranquility by the zikr of Allah. And lo, it is with the zikr of Allah do the hearts find peace. So if we want peace of mind, tranquility, sukoon, we have to find it in the remembrance of Allah. May Allah give me this peace of mind as well. May Allah include us all among awliya Allah. We all have the potential to be a wali of Allah. Just have to adjust our lifestyles a little bit. We adjust it a little bit and inshallah we attain this wilayat and friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give me the tawfeer to practice upon what we preach. May Allah be pleased with us all. Jazakumullah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. اللهم لك الحمد ولك الشكر. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك، أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي نبي الرحمة، كما تحب وترضى عدد ما تحب وترضى، كلما ذكره الذاكرون وكلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون. اللهم اجعلنا من أهل القرآن الذين هم أهلك وخاصتك وأولياؤك يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعلنا من الذين لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. اللهم طهر قلوبنا من غيرك ونظر قلوبنا بأنوار معرفتك. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا صالحا ورزقا حلالا طيبا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا كاملا ويقينا صادقا وقلبا خاشعا ولسانا ذاكرا وتوبة نصوحا وتوبة قبل الموت وراحة عند الموت ومغفرة ورحمة بعد الموت والعفو عند الحساب والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من عذاب جهنم ونعوذ بك من عذاب القبر ونعوذ بك من فتنة المحيا والممات ونعوذ بك من شر فتنة المسيح الدجال ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصل اللهم